Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together today, the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our announcements for this week. Father George will be celebrating the 11 o'clock a.m. Mass here today. We will have a small reception afterward. Please consider stopping by to say goodbye and wish him well. Today at 1 o'clock p.m., the Knights of Columbus will again host Family Fun Day. Join them for an afternoon of fun, food, and fellowship. Next Saturday, June the 19th, the Foresters will sponsor their third ethnic dinner. Join them here in the activities room for a homemade German dinner. You can find their menu in this weekend's bulletin. The June edition of The Word Among Us is available in the narthex. This has the daily scripture readings and other inspirational readings inside. See page 3 of the bulletin for any meetings this week. Please rise and join in prayer and song.
Let us build a house where love is found in water, wine, and reed. A banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the feast that frees us, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us fill the house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word. Built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
Well, we've got something pretty unusual to celebrate today. What's the most number of sacraments you've ever received in one day? Our brother Jeff Rickabaugh, who was part of the RCIA process and was planning on doing all this at the Easter Vigil, they ran into some administrative delays downtown, but everything's ready now. So Jeff is going to be baptized. He is going to be confirmed. He is going to receive his first Holy Communion. And then he and his wife are going to have their marriage convalidated. So how's that for a day's work? We've been looking forward to this for a long time, and we're really glad it's arrived. They were just excellent in their preparation and anticipation and doing everything just the way God wanted them to. Well, we're back to ordinary time. It's been a while, hasn't it? Boy, it was like when it was snowing out. Lent and Easter time and Corpus Christi and Feast of the Holy Trinity. Now we're just back into the ordinary, extraordinary celebration of all that God has done. So now as we enter into these holy mysteries, as we join the angels and saints in the worship of heaven, as we participate in the death and the resurrection of Christ, we examine our conscience now so that we might be worthy. So we can turn to God, run to the throne of grace, cry out for the mercy and help we need.
You were sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our hope and our strength, without you we falter. Help us to follow Christ and to live according to your will. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Samuel. Nathan said to David, "Thus says the Lord of Israel, I anointed you king of Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your Lord's house and your Lord's wives for your own. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this were not enough, I could count up for you still more. Why have you spurned the Lord and done evil in his sight? You have cut down Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You took his wife as your own, and him you killed with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah to be your wife. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan answered David, the Lord, on his part, has forgiven your sin. You shall not die. The word of the Lord.
Confess my faults to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin.
I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you just. Exalt all you upright of heart.
I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, we who know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. No longer I, but Christ lives in me, insofar as I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
expiation for our sins.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time that I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have some very powerful readings today, and I'm sure they could teach us many things. I'm going to bring two things that I think we can all get from the readings. The first is when we see David in the first reading and the woman in the third reading, we can all put ourselves in their places, and we're all sinners. Any news there? Secondly, we know through baptism, through faith and repentance, we can be much more. Sons of God, daughters of God, saints. This is a very powerful reading in our first reading, but so much of the power happens before this reading that we need to review it in order to understand what's going on here. This is one of the low points of one of the great kings. Many would say the greatest king in Israel. David had some brilliant moments. He was eloquent in his praise of God, captured in the Psalms. The prophet picked him out from 12 brothers as a young shepherd boy. He killed Goliath. He was a famous warrior. But well into his adult life, in one place I read, 20 years into his kingship, in his maturity, one time when David should have been with his army leading the battle, he was back at home, seemingly playing hooky. And he went out on an afternoon on the top of the palace, saw on the adjoining rooftop a beautiful woman. Now David had more than one wife. He had more than dozens of wives. But he looked at Bathsheba and said, He called Bathsheba over. Bathsheba, as a result, got pregnant. Now, see, this was a problem because Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, hadn't been home in a while because he was one of the generals fighting a war, and he wasn't likely to be home for a while, raising some rather obvious questions. So what is David to do? So he says, I'm going to call Uriah home. Have him come home, visit his wife, have him stay a while. That'll provide the cover. But because of battle and Jewish ritual laws, Uriah was unclean. He did the right thing. He did not visit his wife. So that didn't work. So now what's David to do? He has Uriah go back to the battle with a letter to the head general saying, attack this town, this walled town. When you get to the place of the fiercest fighting, have Uriah lead the charge and have everybody else drop back. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. And guess what happened to Uriah? He got dead. End of problem. About a year later, David gets a visit from the prophet Nathan. Now, see, I sympathize with Nathan in this exchange because I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. How would you like to be delivering that message to the king, who's already demonstrated what he does when he's in circumstances he doesn't like? How dare you talk to the king like that? This is not true. Outrageous accusations. Provide the proof. He could have. And then what does Nathan do? So that's where we pick up the first reading. Nathan says to David, this is what he's got to go and confront the king with. And I can just hear the pleading in the Lord's voice through Nathan. I anointed you king of Israel. You were a shepherd boy. You came from nowhere. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. Saul was trying to kill him for years. I gave you his own. I gave you your Lord's house. You have the houses of Judah and Israel. If this weren't enough, I've given you still more. Why have you done this? David had a lot of good history. He had done a lot of good things. And he had done some really wrong things. But right now, David is confronted with, I think, the defining moment in his life. It hasn't been all the good that he's done in the past. It hasn't been all the wrong he's done in the past. But what is he going to do when the prophet Nathan confronts him with the word of the Lord? And David knows he's caught, and David knows he's wrong. What's he going to do? Blow it off, own up, rationalize, make excuses, blame it on her? Who's not tried that? But David says, no, I have sinned. David, as great as he was, as prominent as he was, as public as he was, took responsibility for what he did. The Bible then says he went into his room and cried. The most famous psalm of repentance in the Bible is Psalm 51. Right at the beginning of it, it says, this is what David prayed after being confronted by Nathan the prophet. So Psalm 51 is David's response to our first reading. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Who's not been there? Against you, you alone have I sinned, done what is evil in your sight. Let me know joy and gladness. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Even in the midst of wrong that's probably more serious than what anyone here has committed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me, and much more, too, in Psalm 51. David showed in that moment that we're not defined by the wrong we've done. We're defined by the response we make to the wrong we've done. Because God can bring good out of anything. That's what the Bible says. David knew he was a sinner, but he chose not to be defined by that sin. And David lived a life that we still sing about. He's one of the great heroes. Jesus was himself acclaimed as Messiah because he was of the line of David. Hail, Son of David! Hosanna! At the right moment, David chose honesty and repentance, and through God's grace in his life, he triumphed. Our gospel reading today is most poignant. I could just see a bunch of guys in a room having dinner, and rather awkwardly, this woman barges in, says she was a sinner. which means that she was publicly known to be a sinner. Tradition says she was a prostitute. Tradition has often suggested that it was Mary Magdalene. The scripture doesn't say that. Scripture doesn't even say Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. We don't know for sure these things, but we do know that this woman came in and started pretty much making a scene. Can you just put yourself there? I mean, imagine Thanksgiving dinner where somebody comes in and starts washing one's feet with tears and wiping them with her hair and kissing the feet. And the alabaster jar of ointment was probably worth thousands of dollars, perhaps much more. What a waste. This is one of three times in Luke where Jesus eats dinner with a Pharisee. The Pharisee thinks to himself, the Bible says, if Jesus only knew. Then the Bible says, Jesus responded to Simon in regard to what he was thinking. I read this and I say, I am really glad Jesus does not publicly answer all my critical thoughts in public. And he asks Simon a question. If somebody's forgiven a whole lot and somebody's forgiven a little, who's going to love the forgiver more? Is that a hard question? But what Jesus says here just blows me away, and I mean that. He says, one who is forgiven little loves little. One who is forgiven much loves much. Look what Jesus is doing. He is taking the occasion of great offense, great sin for which we feel boatloads of guilt, in which the devil lies to us and condemns us and punishes us and pushes us down and abuses us. Jesus takes that same, those same circumstances and turns them into an occasion to love him more. Great sin becomes, in Jesus' eyes, through his mercy, an occasion for great love. Astonishing. Something to remember when we're plagued and burdened and tormented by guilt. Take it to Jesus. One who is forgiven much loves much. This woman apparently had done wrong. The whole world knew. And what now is she defined by? There was the righteous Pharisee. And maybe the town scandal. And who is the one here that's closest to Jesus? If you want to be more like David in making a great response to the wrong we've done, more like the woman in the parable showing great love, just meditate on these words from our second reading, some of the most memorizable in all of the New Testament. It's a spiritual truth that can strengthen our soul. It is, I have been crucified with Christ. That's what we do, and we abandon our own will. When we empty ourselves and ask for his grace, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. I've died. I've been raised with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Yes, you're a sinner. You can be much more. Through God's grace, you can be a saint. Which of these things most captivates your thinking? Which of these things most influences your behavior? Through God's grace and infinite mercy, our future is up to us.